everyone. Thank you so much for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, I'm going to give you a really quick science lesson and very simplified version. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells, and just when it thinks life is over, it reforms into the butterfly, but it's not finished struggling. It has to struggle in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere it's going to go once it gets out of that cocoon. That can't be easy, but neither is busting through limits that society places on people. And before I bring my guest on, and he is going to talk about some limits that he has had placed upon him and all the amazing things that he is doing and busting through, I just want to remind you to like or subscribe, and then also set the notifications so you get notifications so you don't miss any of my amazing guests. And if you're watching live, give us a hashtag live and where you're watching from. If you're watching in the replay, a hashtag replay and where you're watching from. And be sure to comment during the broadcast, because the more you comment, the more the algorithm goes, oh, people are interested in this, and they push it out. And so more people can enjoy all the amazing guests that I have. All right. I think that's everything. You don't really join this to hear me. You come on to learn about the different guests that I have. And so today I am bringing on Sam Mitchell. Sam, thank you so much for being my guest today. How are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, great. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, so I run a podcast called Autism Rocks and Rolls. It's a podcast about autism, how to cope with daily struggles that you may or may not understand. Through the podcast, it's grown so much. I developed sponsors, a board of 6 members. I'm an event planner in Indianapolis, where I'm from. I also do motivational speaking services. I've spoken in places from Orlando, Florida to Canada. And I also do a lot of media content as well. I have a new commercial out, a video commercial. You can find it on YouTube if you just type in Autism Rocks and Rolls commercial. And I'm a new children's online producer of a television show. Well, it's a children's online television. It's an online children's television show called The Gina Mitchell Show.
Ah, and who is Gina Mitchell?
That's my mother.
That's your mom. And so what is this show about? That's really interesting.
Basically, the way I describe it is it's Bill Nye the Science Guy, but instead of with science, it's with autism.
Oh, can you tell us about a couple of the episodes? Do you already have them produced?
We have one out. We're going to work on the other one some point. But the other one is okay. Just a little introduction about the basics of autism, what it was like before the diagnosis. Well, not it was like before the diagnosis, but before the before the happiness came, it was like rain down sadness, and it turns to us happy dancing. And then she also did a myth then debunked segment. It was myth then debunked segment where pretty much the mom or my mom would tell me a myth and then she would debunk it.
That is so awesome. I love it. I'm going to look for that when we get off of here. And I'm going to actually type.
It's on Venmo, VIMEO.com. It's like video, but instead of a D, you just add an M.
Okay. All right. So it's Vimeo, VIMEO.com.
Yeah. And it's fine. And you go on the search engine, type in the Gina Mitchell Show, it'll pop up.
Okay. I'm going to type this in so that people can look it up it would help if I could spell today. Okay. So I'm going to show that. So yeah, you want to go to Vimeo.com and then type in Gina Mitchell and it'll pull up. And that sounds, do I have it all typed here correctly? Can you see that?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
It should pop up.
Okay. Awesome. So, Sam, tell us about you more than what you just did. And actually, I think we're almost going to do what your first episode of the Gina Mitchell Show is like, because I do want to talk about what it's been like being you your whole life. You look like you're younger than when the law for special education came out. So you probably didn't have to have anything before 1975. So there was always a special ed law. There was always supposed to be people helping you, but I don't know that that happened. So just kind of walk us through your life from, your earliest memories until now? Not every detail, just the grand overview.
Well, I'll try and give you what I can give you, but I was born on July 21st, 2002. Got diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 2, turned into autism at the age of 4. And then just through school, my life was really hard because I dealt with the bullying, all the exclusion that came with autism, and the stereotypes that come with autism. I once got poked in the back with pencils for literally doing nothing that says anything. And high school kind of turned a dark turn too because I felt lonely. I had one friend in school. It was very isolating. But then at the age of 16, I started my high school's media club. Fell in love with it so much, I gained confidence through the podcast, and I decided to change my ways and quit people pleasing. Best decision of my life because I made friends. I feel like my family understood me a little more than they already did. I feel like I had a character and identity versus at 15 years old when I was just a lost boy in the woods.
Right.
And then I'm trying to think what else here. I graduated college recently with an associate's degree in broadcasting.
Awesome. And so the podcast that you're doing now, is that the same one that you started when you were 15?
Yeah. Well, I actually started when I was 6. Hold on a minute here. No, I started the Autism Rocks and Rolls podcast was 17. And then 16 before, that's when I helped out my school's podcast.
Okay. That's really interesting. And if it's not painful, because I don't want to, bring you down, but can you tell more about what your school experiences were like? And I appreciate the brief summary of, what ages you were diagnosed with things, but I want kind of the point of the show is for people's perspectives to be changed. And so if you could sort of describe what your characteristics were that you think might have caused people not to want to be your friends, because I want people to understand and to teach their children, just because someone acts differently or talks differently or walks differently, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be friends with them. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah. And Unfortunately, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I really don't. But if I had a guess, maybe I was just talking about different subjects that people didn't really get. I would say maybe I was a bit pushy. Okay. When I want something done, I want it done now. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't understand the social skills or social cues of if someone is upset today because their grandfather died.
Right. And so at what point did you, I know you said when you started the media club at school that you stopped people pleasing and started, just kind of thinking about yourself and being yourself. And then you developed friends. So do you think your behaviors were different then? Or was it just you just weren't worried about having friends and then they manifested?
I think it was I didn't worry about friends and then they manifested on its own. Because I think part of the problem was I was with the wrong people at the wrong time at the right place. When the next year happened, I hang out with the right people. I talk to the right people at the right place. And just by coincidence, I don't know how it became the right time, but it became the right time.
Right.
Because yeah, I understood socially, okay, this is acceptable, this isn't. Or if I didn't understand it all the way, I was about to understand, or I had to try to understand it, or I just saw I would be flushed down the drain.
Yeah. And thinking about, that's not what I wanted to, I'm just having technical difficulties today with things. I have too many tickers and not enough banners, I guess. So this is your Facebook group. What happens in your Facebook group?
There's a lot of resources on there, a lot of positive posts about autism, a lot of positive advice. And then there's just also my business purposes. I recently posted today, I just read a new blog that came out. You were happy to take a read on that. That's the recent thing that's out right now. But there's also a lot of people on there who post other stuff. There's a mom out there who has a child with autism that is basically the mindset of a 1-year-old. And she posts daily about her beautiful daughter.
Oh, very cool. And I'm going to take that and put that over into the chat so that people can access it just directly. You're not going to have to type it in yourself. I'm trying to be better about doing things like that for my audience. So that's in the chat now. And they can find your podcast, I'm guessing, anywhere that they listen to podcasts.
Just Google me, Autism Rocks and Rolls. Something will pop up. I've done the research myself.
Okay. And so what was the reason for calling it Autism Rocks and Rolls?
Well, we went down the list of hobbies of mine. Autism wrestling, that didn't really work. They didn't really come out with a title with that. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. I love pinball. That didn't really make any sense. Oh, rock and roll music. We could play around with that. So the autism comes from, being dinosaur on the autism. That's kind of common sense. Well, it turns out I'm a big fan of rock and roll music. So we combine the two, autism, rocks and rolls. We're going to do autism, rock and roll, taken, rocks and roll, taken, rock and rolls, taken. So we just add the S's and make magic.
There you go. Awesome. Sometimes there's a lot more thought that goes into titles than I think what people often will realize. Just go to autismrocksandrolls.com and that will get you to your website. Is there anything on your website that you want me to, I can pull up the website and we can share stuff from it if you're interested in doing that?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you pull her up, and if you have any questions about anything, I can answer them.
Oh, all right. That works that way too. So you did talk about, before we go to this, that you were bullied in school. Was it years and years, or was it a couple of years and then it kind of stopped?
It was sporadic. It was sixth grade year getting stabbed in the back with pencils for nothing. And then, junior year, or really senior year, it was literally getting called dumb ASF, which I'm not going to say what it stands for, but I think you know what it stands for.
Right. Yep.
For doing nothing.
Yeah.
But at that point, it was like, you really think that? Ain't my problem.
That is so true. And I want to see if we can delve into that a little bit more, because we really shouldn't be worried about what other people think about us, but we often are consumed by what other people think about us. Do you know what sort of gave you the mind switch to be able to not worry about what other people thought about you anymore?
Well, I think it came from the long-term lesson of life that I learned throughout the journey. And that is, if you're too mean to people, you're not going to make it. And rightfully so. I'm not trying to say, go out and be a jerk. Trust me. You shouldn't be mean all the way. But you also shouldn't be too nice. Because being too nice to people is people-pleasing, and it doesn't give you an identity. You're just that person's sidekick. Do you really want that? No one wants that. They don't want you to remember as, I'm BJ Yo, I'm BJ Yoho's Robin or Billy Bob's Robin. They want you to remember, this is Billy Bob who does this, 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 this. I didn't follow anyone's footsteps.
Yep. That's awesome. That's great advice. So on your website, you've got services. So are these the different things that you offer? You've got business coaching, podcast coaching.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We got to change the language on it because I did a roadmap coaching session. He thinks it's not specific enough, so it needs to be changed a little bit. But as far as the main concept, yes, that is what we do.
All right. And can you kind of talk a little bit about each one? If I clicked on each one, does it give anything other than like a form for them to fill out?
I don't know. You'll have to click and see. I'm not really familiar with the website on that. Okay. So it does. So business coaching, that just means, I want to help you get into what I did and basically turn your hobby into a business. If you have this idea of selling lemonade, all right, let's see what we can do about it.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be podcasting, but it can be. And that's what podcast coaching session is, which is the other one on there. That's where I coach you on how to start a podcast and do all the magic tricks I've learned about sponsorship, monetizing it.
Okay. And one of the things that you had on the previous coaching that I want to go back to, and I know the audience probably can't see this very well, so I'm hoping that with it highlighted, you know, it doesn't really pop up any better, but it says learning goals. Sam can help your business recognize and implement the following inclusive mindsets. Those with disabilities can. And I love that because on the back of the book that I authored, that's kind of what it says. It says those who going from can't to can. And it's exactly what you're talking about, that we need to look at people with disabilities, not as someone who is broken or less than or incapable of something, but say they can do lots of things with whatever their eligibility or their diagnosis is. And let's work on those things and let's collaborate about those things. So I really appreciated that we had kind of the same thinking about that. So motivational speaking, you go around the country or do you do it virtually?
Yes,
or
I go around the country. The latest one I've done is Canada. I just haven't been invited out of the country yet, but
okay.
I've been to Florida, Washington, D.C. I've been to Indiana, of course, because that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Oklahoma. And I'm going to be going to Oklahoma again in November for a special education conference. And then for another one in Wisconsin, but back to back in November. One for the first week of November, and then the other one's the second week in November.
Wonderful. And then here's some, if they want you to sponsor any kind of event or you want to have them get sponsors for their events, then you will work with them on all of that stuff.
Yep. We're very collaborative people. We're not hard to get along with. I mean, we're easy to get along with. There we go.
Yeah. No, I gathered that just from this conversation so far. So you have also, it looks like, on your podcast, had the ability to talk with Dr. Temple Grandin.
Yep. We're friends.
Yeah. I can't say that I'm friends with her, but she did come on my podcast as well. And she is truly an amazing person. Does she inspire you in any way?
I would say I'm just fascinated by the way she thinks, because mm-hmm. some of the ideas she does is just mind-blowing. I mean, she's the reason those on a spectrum are being successful today and are possibly changing the world, because I think you know from experience, a lot of people with autism are so out of the box, they'll come up with ideas that you think are just, how did they do that?
Right. Yeah, and absolutely, because
they take action. And there's a quote from Temple talking about a gene pool or something like that. And that means if you didn't have autism in this world, a lot of people wouldn't be doing stuff, because those on a spectrum, as you probably know, like to get things done.
Right. And like you said, you're out of the box thinkers. I'm a former special education teacher, and so many of my students were more resilient when they would make a mistake or they did fail something. Not always, but you know, they just, their work ethic was just head down, get it done, move on to the next thing. And it wasn't just people with autism. It was all of my students. And I worked with students with every eligibility for special education, and then things that, you know, didn't necessarily fit into a neat eligibility category. So I appreciate that sentiment. So, going back to like your school days and stuff, I'm sorry, I'm kind of feeling like I'm all over today and I'm not sure why that is. Going back to your schooling and the being bullied, what advice would you give to any student who might be experiencing some of what you experienced?
Well, this is a lesson I should have learned from a while back ago. So I got a nose itch kind of right here. But anyway, for the longest time, I thought no one in this world is going to find me interesting. I have one person that will. I should have more. I'm being ungrateful. Okay, I should have realized then someone found me interesting. That's enough. So my advice for you and people listening is, if you don't believe anyone's going to find you interesting, that is a load of baloney. Here's why I say that. There is 8 billion people on Earth. Someone's going to find you interesting. It's unrealistic that all 8 billion people on Earth will not find you interesting. It could be somebody you don't expect. It could be a World War II veteran. It could be an old neighbor down the street. It could be a two-year-old. It could be your two-year-old cousin. It could be your eight-year-old cousin. It could be a lunch lady. But that's someone, and that's something. You need to grasp onto that, because as they say, something is better than nothing.
I love that. That is fabulous advice, and it's so true. And exactly what you said, just being grateful. And honestly, what you just said can apply to anybody. I wasn't ever bullied, but I just had low self-esteem. And, you know, I had friends, but I didn't have what I thought were the right friends or the popular friends or, you know, whatever it was. And I needed to be more grateful for the friends that I had when I was in elementary school and high school, and not compare myself and say, oh, well, that person has way more friends than I do, or that person has a better car than I do, or that's why, you know, whatever it was. So I think that was fabulous advice. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, we've talked about some limits that you've already busted through, but I know at the beginning we talked about the fact that the Flutie Foundation and Make a Film Foundation. So can you tell me about those organizations and what they do and what you do for them?
Yes. So pretty much the Make a Film Foundation, it's like Make a Wish for the movies. And I just try to help out with them as much as I can. I get a lot of baskets from them. We always have a gal, and they are very kind and usually donate. They were sponsoring my show. And then the Flutie Foundation is more of a, they help me get to what I need to do. One of the conferences I got to go to was Stuart, Florida. We couldn't afford it all the way, but they were able to help out. And I had to do some conditions on their rules, but they were reasonable rules. Trust me. I know the difference between reasonable and unreasonable really well, I think. But they just try to help me out when I need to. And they always say, if you need anything, give us a holler.
Awesome. So I love that. Make a Film Foundation is like the Make a Wish Foundation. And who runs the Make a Film Foundation?
She's in Los Angeles, California. Her name is, I think, Tamika Lamison or something like that.
Okay. I'm presuming the Flutie Foundation is Doug Flutie.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's really awesome. So have you participated in making films for people?
I have not. My video career recently started with the Gina Mitchell Show. Video, to me, when I tried it, it was just always a pain in the rear because of just how tedious it is and how nitpicky it is. But I kind of had to learn, oh, well, I'm in broadcasting. You can only do so much with audio. There's a lot more imagination when it comes to video.
Right. And yeah, I mean, not all video is like this. You know, there's animation video. There's, I shouldn't be the one telling me. You should tell the audience the different kinds of, when we're talking about making a film, all the different like media and modems that you could use.
Right. I've never been a film guy. I'll be 100% honest with you. The way I've always been is television.
Mm-hmm.
Like shows, game shows. Right. And it's just because I think film is way too long. You sit there for an hour and watch a movie. That's too long for me, buddy. I think a good show in general should be 30 minutes. And usually, how long are game shows or sitcoms? 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah. And then that's including commercials. If you take the commercials out, they're usually like 22 to 25 minutes, I think. Would you say that would be about right?
Yeah, but I think they're getting a little way too long now.
Yeah.
I think commercials are kind of growing and then TV time is downplaying. It needs to be the other way around.
It seems like it. My husband and I don't really have network television or cable television. We just use streaming services. And it seems like the commercials in the streaming services are getting almost as long and as many as what there used to be in cable and network television, which was why one of the reasons we left those things.
So it's crazy. It's crazy. And it's crazy with what's turning into, because now it's the internet streaming, which I'm not a fan of. I won't lie to you there, because of the reliance you have on technology and television. It wasn't that hard to set up. You could easily just set up, click it on, boom, there you go. You have to really rely on technology. You relied on a wire.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yep. So what does the future hold for Sam?
Well, the two conferences for one thing, but I'm hoping the other idea down the road is we could turn this side gig of Autism Rocks and Rolls into where I can pay the bills, because I've still got to go get a job. I'm working on that with my job coach right now. Hopefully I'll get there someday, but hopefully working in a radio station too down the line. But I would really like to make Autism Rocks and Rolls a full-time opportunity.
Oh, that would be fabulous. And again, I'm going to put up the autism. So if they want information, it's just, or if they want to email you, then it's info@autismrocksandrolls.com. No spaces, all one word. And then the website itself is autismrocksandrolls.com. So turning the podcast into a money-making endeavor and, you know, really digging into, what are some of the topics that you have already covered on Autism Rocks and Rolls?
Well, there's a lot. I've interviewed several wrestlers. I've interviewed Mick Foley, Kane, Jake the Snake, to name a few for you. And I've covered a lot of behaviors. My latest one was over regression, autism regression, because we know that can happen in the autism field. And I think it's very scary for the parents. But the problem is, I think, the reaction. When they see a child regress, they think it's 2012 and the world is ending. I'm not saying you can't be like, oh, crap. But in their brains, oh, crap, my life is done for. No, you can figure out the regression. There's therapies and resources out there for regression.
Great point. You mentioned before that you have a job coach. Would you mind explaining what that is to the audience?
Yeah, basically it's a person who is affiliated with some company and they take someone on the spectrum under their wing and try to help them apply for a job. So maybe they work on their resume for them. Maybe they train them how to do a job interview. Maybe they show them what they put on a resume. Maybe they try to figure out how to get into the system quicker, because we know the system for getting a job can be a while long.
Right. People with disabilities, are 7 times more likely to be unemployed?
Yeah, there's a huge number of unemployment right now. It's 85%.
Yeah. And as we've mentioned, you know, people with disabilities have tremendous skills and characteristics that are fantastic and needed in the job industries. No matter, you know, I mean, there's probably some person that can plug into every job industry, even if they have that eligibility, that label of something. Gosh, my brain is just not working today because there was a question I was going to ask you and now it has escaped me. Oh, I know. How did you find your job coach?
VR.
Oh, okay. So that is, I want to tell people about that because I don't know that a lot of people understand that vocational rehabilitation is a related service that is associated with having an individualized education program. Every state is supposed to have that division. And so if you, whatever state you're in, just Google vocational rehab and you can help your student or yourself, if you're the one doing the research, find where that location is. And hopefully they can help you provide services that you need in your area. In your particular state, you said you're in Indiana. Was it difficult to go through that process to get the job coach?
No, not really. I think we just waited a while because we would get leads and they would say it's not available, or I would get a lead and it turned out to be a scam. And I was finally done dealing with that. I said, all right, listen, because of what happened last time with this scam, we're doing something else, because I refuse to apply for a job again unless we change something, because I'm not going through a possible scam again.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and yeah, nobody would want to do that. Are there any other services as an adult that you receive?
I'm trying to think. That's a question for my mother, because she'll probably know more about that. But the one I think of is the job coach. And then voc rehab is another one I know for sure. But that's kind of a problem, I think, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to talk about it.
A lot of the resources diminish.
Yep. Yes. So our legislators and our people in our communities, we need to do better for our people who are no longer in school. Because I don't want to say a specific age because it's different in different state. Most of them, it's around age 22, 21, 22. But there are a couple states that vary from that. And there aren't services. And then, you know, where do these adults go? What do they do at that point? And so we need to do a better job of providing work coaches or training or facilities, whatever it is. I mean, the need is going to be different, but I think the biggest need is to have that employment piece, because you are too intelligent to sit at home and not be contributing to society. And you are skilled. So you should not be sitting at home unemployed when you want to work. And there are thousands of job openings. There should be ways to meld those things together. And the job coach is definitely helpful.
I think that's why a lot of people with autism will make a job for themselves instead of trying to find one. You're not going to give me a job? Their thought is this: you're not going to give me a job? Screw you. I'm going to make a job out of myself.
Yep.
They'll start their own business. They'll start their own ideas. I mean, I know a guy, I think he's up in Florida. He started a company that makes socks. He has Down syndrome.
John's Crazy Socks.
Bingo. He started on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. I bet you $100, no one gave him a job opportunity.
You're right. And not only did he start his own company and he runs his company, but most of the people that are employed in his company are people with disabilities.
It makes it even better, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I've had multiple guests as podcast guests that have become entrepreneurs. There's a gentleman called Patrick. His company name is Purely Patrick, and he packages dry ingredients for cookie recipes and how to make dog biscuits and, you know, different things like that. Cookie stuff for bird food. And that's one of the main groups that I look for to be on the podcast are people who are making their difference that way.
And I think too, a lot of people with autism have a business mindset regardless.
Probably. Yeah. Because you, as you mentioned before, your action, you see a problem and you want to fix it. You know, going back to Dr. Grandin, you know, she saw the issue with the cattle. So she figured out how to make it a smoother transition for them. And as you said, you know, her speaking out all these years about autism has really helped people with autism go further. We just need more voices like Dr. Grandin's. So I appreciate so much, Sam, that you have your podcast and you are talking about these things, because it's not easy. You talked about regression. As you said, that's very scary for parents. And so I'm really glad that you talked about that, and you talked about that you can move forward. It might feel like you've taken 10 steps backward, but even if you did, that doesn't mean you can't go 5 steps forward again and just keep moving forward. So what other kinds of things do you talk about on your podcast?
Well, then there's sometimes my hobbies to make myself stand out. I'll try to compare something that is a hobby of mine or something I like to do for fun to autism. I've done that several times. I did that with pinball. I did that with Scooby-Doo. I did that with Red Dead Redemption. I did that with airplanes, despite me having a fear of flying a little bit of a fear of flying, not a big one, but it had been one. And then also I compared unbelievably broadcasting to autism and fishing.
Oh, interesting. Very cool.
And professional and wrestling. I forgot about that one. And professional wrestling.
So how many episodes have you put out?
Too many to count on one hand.
Well, I would hope so. That would only be 6.
Yeah, I really can't give you that answer because there is a lot.
Okay. So you're not like me. You don't put the episode number on the particular episode.
No, I kind of do what you did. Like, it says episode 215.
Yeah.
I'll do the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, Sam, are there other things that you were hoping to talk about today while you, when you agreed to be my guest, because I don't want to let you go unless you get to tell what you wanted to tell.
Well, I mean, unless you want to talk about it, I'm open to it. But if you're not, thanks for having me on. It's been a good time.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly. Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about your TED Talk.
Okay, we can talk about it.
Yeah, so tell us kind of what it was about, which one it was, like what location.
It was in Bloomington, Indiana. TEDx call was called Soul Structures About Why Those on the Spectrum Need Structure. We had to do virtually because of COVID, but still qualify as a TEDx talk. It's been more of a video essay format, but I used my pinball episode I mentioned earlier, and I did more into it. So I talked about why the autism brain needs structure, but in the format of a pinball game.
Oh, interesting. And is that available on YouTube?
Pinball game is more of talking about pinball and talking about autism and structure combined.
Okay. And can people find that on your website?
YouTube?
Where would they find it? Okay. Awesome. And I'm just kind of reading back through the information that you gave me. So you are in the top 10 in the People's Choice Podcast, or you were in the top 10 in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. You placed second in the state of Indiana for the JAG Entrepreneurship Project. What was that?
That is pretty much in JAG. They had to cut it down because of budget cuts, which is stupid. But anyway, that is where in JAG you learn job skills, like how to interview people. There's no textbooks in there. It's like business almost.
Oh.
But one of the projects was you had to propose a business entrepreneurial plan and do a job interview, and I got second place for it.
Fabulous. And then it also says you were selected as the best business at the CEO trade show in Indiana.
Yep, I was in a CEO class in my senior year, and they surprised us by doing two awards. One was the best booth. One was the best business, and I was voted the best business.
Awesome. Congratulations. And then the last thing here it says is that you're in the top 200 podcasts in all of Canada, and you're also a current Davy Award winner. What's the Davy Award?
Davy Award's a podcast award, pretty much.
Okay.
Gotcha. And then Canada, I didn't know about that until my mother told me. Mother was like, hey, you're in the top 200 podcasts in Canada. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think it's really important that we do what we do because we love it. Like you were talking about all of your hobbies. This is my hobby. Being able to talk to people, sharing their experiences, helping to change people's perspectives of other people and not looking at anybody as a less than or, you know, somebody that is not worthy to be friends with or not worthy to have a job or whatever the mind makes people think strangely about other people. And we do it because we love it. It's not necessarily because of the numbers, but at the same time, that would be a nice side effect if we had, you know, each of us had a million or more followers because we would be changing more lives that way. Right. Yeah. So there's one more subject that I did just in your biography look at and want to discuss with you. You talked about mental health and autism, and I organize a mental health walk every year because it is such a needed discussion area. So when you said, you know, you're willing to talk about autism and mental health, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think autism and mental health go a lot together because a lot of people with autism usually have a co-occurring mental health condition. I always joke around and say the steak is your autism, but then it comes with fries too. So that could be a sleeping condition. It could be OCD, could be bipolar, could be my case, ADHD, could be cerebral palsy, could be you have one arm. It could be Bell's palsy. It's just usually something else. I also have real bad anxiety. That's a lot of common ones too, autism and anxiety. That's me.
Right.
Autism and depression. There's just a lot of co-concurring conditions.
And so what do you do in order to keep your mental health in the good way?
The way I keep my mental health in a good way is I talk about it, speak up, advocate. I did advocating work yesterday a little bit. It was kind of for fun advocating, but I think it was. There's a band that I grown fond of called Citizen Soldier, and they're a rock band that talks about mental health Well, they make songs about mental health. It's a killer, but I went and saw them yesterday in Indianapolis, and they put on a good show. Really good show. Very happy. And I met the lead singer. VIP experience. Nice.
Awesome. And what advice would you give someone who is autistic and is going and is struggling with their mental health?
I would say the best idea you can do is find your people, try to hang in there. It's the best thing you could do. And hopefully as time goes on, it'll get better, because for me, what I've learned, time was the true healing. I still haven't healed from being called dumb ASF all the way. I haven't healed from getting stabbed in the back with pencils. There's still scars. But with time, I bet the bleeding's going to stop at some point.
Yeah, it will. And those wounds will heal. But you're right. It takes time in a lot of instances. I had a young gentleman on way at the beginning of doing my podcast, and he has autism, and he said, I just allow myself to dwell on something for 30 seconds to a minute, and then I don't think about it anymore. And I wish I had that capability, honestly, because there are things that have happened to me that have happened to you. They happened in childhood, and I'm much older than you. And sometimes some of those effects still come back to haunt me of, oh, that still bothers me. Or, oh, being around that person still makes me feel a little uncomfortable or not as good as, or something. And so that's good advice, is to just stick with your people and not worry about the rest.
Been there, done that one. There's some people I do not like to be around with.
Yep.
And I was in a Mexican restaurant with them, and I see them across the table, I'm up and moving to the next one.
That's good. That's good. We need to be better about taking care of ourselves and not necessarily. I mean, sometimes, yes, it's okay to be uncomfortable, because you might find that you grow. But, you know, if you're always uncomfortable around certain people, maybe you just don't hang around with them for a while until, like you said, your stab wounds heal. Literally your stab wounds have healed, but figuratively you're still trying to get them healed, right?
And in my case, I want it to overheal, because I'm just wondering, sometimes they don't heal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I hate to be the one to rain on everybody's parade, but it's the truth.
Well, yeah, and we have to be told the truth. So I appreciate that. All right. Well, I think I've covered now what I wanted to cover. And I think if you're good, I think we've covered what you wanted to. But again, I just want to give you one last opportunity. If there's anything you wanted to say, if you have any advice or suggestions, or if you want to plug anything that we haven't already plugged as far as how people can support you or find you or follow you, now's the chance.
All right. Well, thank you again for having me on. If you want to find me, you can find me on autismrocksmills.com. Not a hard guy to find. And I guess my words of wisdom and words of peace, I guess, is if the world could be nice and not act so stupid, I think we get along so much better, my friend. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Very good words. Just get along with each other. Put our pride aside a little bit, right?
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, so much for joining us today. And make sure, if you're watching in the replay, that you give us a hashtag replay. And if you have any comments or questions for Sam, I will make sure, if you put them in the chat, that I will get those to him and allow him opportunity to answer those. And remember, guys, we know who we are, but not who we will be. I'll see you next time.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.